Going to be long-winded, I promise you. Turn to Mark chapter 9. And every now and then, we need to have a gully washer. Down in the hills, they throw the garbage sometimes over the side of the ravine. And a lot of times, it's just a dry creek bed down at the bottom. And then after the winter's over and the spring rains come, and it rains real hard, all that stuff slides down to the bottom, and a big rain comes along, and it washes it all down. I don't know where it goes, but they call it a gully washer. And every now and then, you know, we need to have some preaching and some praying and some singing that just acts like a gully washer in our soul. And gets us thinking about other people and burdened about other folks and having a desire to do something for someone else, to be a blessing and to be a help to them. And this morning I'm going to preach on the word help. That's my message this morning, help. Mark chapter 9 and verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw how great a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, son which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me.
And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this child, or since this came unto him? He said, of a child. And oftentimes he hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Help us. Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible unto him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him. And he entered no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. And he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Sometimes the situation is so bad. Sometimes the situation is so difficult. Sometimes the situation is so hard that even for an apostle who had the power to raise the dead and heal the sick and cast out devils, even for an apostle, it was impossible for them to command the devil and have the devil go and leave, because this man had brought his son to the apostles, to the disciples. They could do nothing for him. But Jesus was able to do something because Jesus had all power. And having all power, he was able to speak the word and the devil would come out of him. And then the disciples came to the Lord and privately said, why couldn't we do it? And he said, well, you just hadn't gone far enough. This kind that won't come out except by prayer and fasting. You know what I think, Jesus? I think what happened to the disciples, they had power that they were taken for granted. I think they thought that they could just speak the word just like Jesus did and it would happen, but it didn't happen on this occasion. I think that there's times when God puts things on us and He burdens us down and puts it on us so hard that there's only one thing we can do, and that's look to Him and pray and ask Him to do it. And sometimes the situation becomes so difficult that we don't even want to eat, that we fast and pray and fast and pray until the answer comes, until the deliverance comes, until God moves in and does something on our behalf. In this passage of Scripture, there was a man that brought his child to the Lord, and he said to the Lord, help us. Help us. A small word, help. But great power that small word has. Sometimes it's cried out in agony by someone that is in pain and sick. They just cry out, help! Help! They want someone to come and help them. Sometimes it's cried out by somebody that is in a life-threatening situation. And they need help. And they cry out, help! Hoping that someone will hear that one small word, help! And when that word is heard, depending on how that word is spoken, whether it's cried out in desperation or how that word is spoken, depends on how someone may react to it. You might be working with somebody and they might say, help me here with this. And you go over and help them. But then there might be somebody drowning, and they cry out, help! And your reaction is much different. The truth of the matter is, help is a powerful word. It's a strong word. It's a motivating word. It's a moving word. It's a word that I've cried out many times in my life. Before I was saved, I cried out, help. I can remember walking on country roads at night. I can remember on Okinawa not being able to sleep and going out at night and looking up at the stars and the moon, knowing in my heart that there was a God, but not knowing that God, and just cried out, help. I felt like I was going to die, and I said, help. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to pray, but I just cried out for help. The Lord saved me on November the 8th, 1966, and there's been many times that I've cried out to the Lord for help. When problems come, help is needed. And as long as you're in this world, in this life, there's going to be problems. And you're going to need help. And I'm going to need help. We all need help. Help. No one can go through life and say, I'm a self-made man. I'm sufficient for the things that are around me. I don't need anyone. And I don't need help. You know what that is? That's a proud man that's going to be destroyed. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Every single one of us needs help at some time in our life. When problems and troubles and trials come, help is needed. In the time of uncertainty, help is needed. I mean, as long as we sort of have an idea of what's going to be happening out there, then we might not be calling for help. But when times become uncertain and we don't know what's going to happen and we don't know how the winds of change are blowing and we don't know what is on the horizon as far as the future is concerned, that is the time that we cry for help. If there's one thing that's needed for America, we need help. America should be on its face. America, every inhabitant of America should be dressed in sackcloth and ashes and on their face before God. If we could see what's coming, what's on the horizon for this country, we would be crying out, help, help, help. When wisdom is needed, sometimes you have to cry, help. Sometimes a situation is thrown in your lap and you don't know what to do, and all you can think is, I don't know how to do this, I don't know how to handle this, and I need help. You know, you can go to the Lord and you can get help. Everyone needs help. Today I look around and I see little children that are in great need of help. I see we have lost a couple of generations already. I see little children coming up without parental love, without care, without supervision, and they're just left to themselves. And no wonder they come up and they get in trouble before they're even a teenager sometimes. No wonder they steal. No wonder they fight. No wonder they hate. No wonder they cuss. No wonder they turn to drugs, because they haven't had any help when it comes to their parents and when it comes to the home. When you see little children that act like that, you know what they're really saying? Somebody help me. Somebody help me. Teenagers come to the place where they feel like no one cares and understands them and loves them, so they turn to alcohol and drugs. I worked at the alternative school. I worked with the kids that were the problem kids. The kids that couldn't stay in a normal classroom, they kicked them out. They put them in alternative school because they were problem children. They were children that wouldn't go along with the rules of the school. And so they put them in alternative school. And I worked with those kids in alternative school. And, you know, every one of them, without fail, I would ask them, how many of you have been on drugs? Everyone. I'm talking 13, 14. How many of you drink on the weekends? Get beer and drink? Raise your hand. Every one of them. I couldn't believe it. I said, now wait a minute. You can't drink
when you're 13 and 14 years old, it's illegal. You can't smoke marijuana and you can't take drugs when you're 13 and 14 years old. It's illegal. How you getting drink? Mom and Dad, they drink every weekend. It's right there. They don't count them. They don't know. And they don't even care. I've had people tell me that the first person they ever took drugs with was their mother. The first person they ever drank with was their father. I've had men tell me that they've given their father beer when they were when their little kids were 5 and 6 years old. They let them start tasting beer. And no wonder they're in a mess by the time they're 13 and 14. And you know what they're doing? They're crying out, I need help. Somebody please help me. I'm taking drugs. I'm drinking. But what I really need is help. Young people and married couples today need help. Man, when I see what happens in the lives of young people, girls get pregnant, feel like they have to get married, or they get pregnant and the man doesn't want to have anything to do with them and leaves because he's not ready to handle the responsibility or doesn't want the responsibility, and they're left to fend for themselves. They're lonely. They're heartbroken. They've been betrayed. They turned to somebody and loved them, and in return got a slap in the face and the back as they walked out the door and said, don't bug me with this stuff. I've got other plans. You know what they need? They need help. And then older people, they come to the place where they can't do like they used to do. They don't have the strength. They don't have the energy. They don't have the wherewithal to keep pushing and to keep plugging. And they get tired. And they need help. And it seems like every time I turn around, I see somebody that needs help. And I can't close my eyes. And I can't turn a deaf ear. And I can't shrug my shoulders and just say, oh well, there's organizations out there that can help you. Because when you need that organization, you'll find out they won't be there to help you. Now, I'm not trying to say that there's no organizations that cannot help you. But people that are looking for help, they try friends. They try different organizations. They try the government. They even try the local churches. And many times, they just get rejected again. And they think there's no one that cares, and there's no one that wants to help them. But I'm here this morning to tell you that the Lord always helped. No one ever came to the Lord and said, Lord, help me. And He said, I don't have time. I can't do it today. I'll read you a case about a woman where it appears like the Lord wasn't going to help her, but He did. You know, with all that we have going in this country today, there's still people that refuse to turn to the one that really can help them. And that's the Lord. Take your Bible, turn to Psalms chapter 22. And in the Psalms, you find that the Lord is there over and over again. I like to read the Psalms because the Psalms shows me so many things and teaches me so many things. And one of the things that I learned from the Psalms is that God is a God of help and He's there to help. In Psalm chapter 22 and verse 11, it says, and we know that this is the thoughts of Jesus on the cross, but He needed help. And He said in verse 11, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Jesus needed help, but there was no one there to help Him. In verse 19, it says, but be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Jesus needed help, but even the Father had turned His back on Jesus. There was no help for Jesus. But you know, when He entered into heaven and sat down on the right hand of the Father, That Bible says we have a high priest that knows what we're going through, and he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And he'll help us. Look in Psalm chapter 27. Psalm chapter 27. It says in verse 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." Man, I'm glad I've got a God that is there to help. He wants to help. He says He will help. And He said, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will be right there to help. Man, if you need help this morning, let me tell you, there's one that's willing to help. Look in Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33 and verse 20. It says, "Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee." It says in verse 20, "Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." The Lord's there to help. Psalm 37 and verse 40. It says this, "And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him." I guarantee you, you can go through the book of Psalms. And you can look at every time the word help is used and study the context of that. You will find that God is there to help in any situation and in every situation. There's not a situation that you ever be faced with in life that the Lord cannot help you with. He wants to help you. And sometimes we exhaust every other possibility. Then we turn to the Lord. I say to you this morning, when you need help, turn there first. Amen. Try the Lord first. Yes, it's good to seek help from friends. Yes, it's good to seek help from family. Yes, it's good to seek help from other folks that might be able to help you in a certain situation. But don't eliminate the Lord. Turn to the Lord first and seek help from Him. Jesus, when He was on this earth, He helped people. Take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. I got about three examples and then I'll stop. Matthew chapter 15. Here's the Syrophoenician woman. She was from Greece. She was a Greek woman, according to Mark chapter 7 and verse 26. And it says in verse 21, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him." That's the first thing she did. She worshipped the Lord. She put Him in the right place. She said, "You're the Lord, and I'm bowing down to You, and I'm going to worship You because You're worthy of worship, and You're the Lord and deserve to be worshipped, so I'm going to worship You." And she worshipped Him, saying, "Lord, help me." It was that four-letter word that grabbed the heart of Jesus. It was that four-letter word that His ear tuned into when she worshipped Him saying, "Lord, help me." There was something inside Him that reached out to her. He could not deny her because she came recognizing His Lordship and said, "Help me." And He answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." She didn't get the answer she was listening for. She didn't get the answer that she wanted. She was called a dog. And he said, it's not right. It's not meat. It's not fit for me to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. She didn't get mad. She didn't get hostile. She didn't flare up. She knew he was Lord. She was worshiping him. She knew that he was the only one that could help her in that situation. And notice her response. She said, truth. Truth, Lord. Yet dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus could not resist that. Here was a woman that said, okay, I'm a dog. And I just want a little crumb of help. Jesus said, man, you've got faith, lady. You've got faith. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. Jesus helped her out because she came to him recognizing that he was the one that was able to help her. Jesus has compassion on those that need help. Then let me say this. Jesus hears the prayer of those that need help. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And in Hebrews chapter 4, the verse I partially quoted, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, and I'll read verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Grace to help. That we might find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. When a person prays and asks God to help them, He helps them. Every single time He helps them. Even if He doesn't change the circumstance, He helps them. Even if He doesn't give them a direct answer to what they ask for, He helps them. And the way He helps them, if He doesn't deliver them out of the situation or out of the circumstance, He helps them by giving them grace to be able to go through whatever they need to go through. That poor woman up on the street the other day, I don't know how old she was. She probably looked a little older than what she was. And I would guess to say that she was in her mid-30s, but she had a four-year-old girl there. She could have been possibly in her late 20s. On one hand, she had love tattooed on the fingers. On the other hand, she had hate tattooed on the fingers. She had a cross tattooed on her hand. You could look at the face of that woman and see that there was one time some purity, and at one time some innocency, and at one time some beauty to that face. But now, with makeup, she was trying to hide the scars of sin. She was trying to hide the depression. She was trying to hide the agony of her soul. By trying to make her face look nice. But she was weeping. She was crying. She said, please have your church pray for me. I prayed for him. We prayed right there on the sidewalk. She thanked me for the prayer. I said, I can guarantee you this. God promises that He will help you. I'm not saying that you're not going to have to go to prison. Maybe you will. Maybe they're going to send you for 30 days. Maybe they'll send you for a week and let you out, or 2 weeks and let you out. Maybe you'll have to stay all 30 days. I don't know. But God is going to give you grace to go through that if you have to go through it. And God is going to be there with you every step of the way. He's going to protect your little girl. He's going to protect you while you're there. He will get somebody to you that can be a help and a blessing to you. You're going to learn something when you go there. And when you go out, you can come out with a determination to never go back to that place again and never go back and make the mistakes that you've made in the past and then stick out a hand to someone else that needs help. And you will be able to help them because you have been there. I was able with all certainty and all authority to say to that woman, God will help you. Jesus helps when we pray. And the third thing I'd like to say is sometimes Jesus hears the prayers of those that need help and gives grace. Sometimes Jesus sends help immediately. Take your Bible and look in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Sometimes Jesus burdens someone else, lays it on someone else's heart to do something, to help immediately. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 9, it says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed unto him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And immediately after he had seen the vision," or after he had seen the vision, "immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." You know what? Macedonia needed help. And God knew they needed help, and Jesus knew they needed help, and he appeared to Paul, and we call that the Macedonian call. We sang it in our hymn book this morning on Send the Light, I think it was. One of the songs we sang this morning talked about the Macedonian call. The Macedonian call was people in Macedonia needed help. And so God gives a vision to Paul and says, go over there and help him. You see, sometimes God will speak to a person's heart and say to that person, I want you to do something. I want you to help that person. I want you to go to that person. And when you extend a helping hand, you extend that helping hand to them just like it was extended to you when you needed help. Sometimes Jesus sends help. Look in Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. And verse 26. And this has to do with Apollos. And it says, "And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly." He was a little off in his doctrine. But Aquila and Priscilla helped him. Just because he wasn't expounding the same thing that they were expounding, they didn't say, nothing to him. No, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. You see, God sent Aquila and Priscilla, and they helped Apollos. And then God sent Apollos, and he helped them over in Achaia. Sometimes Jesus sends someone to help. My last point, you can be a helper. God wants you to help somebody. In Romans chapter 16, Paul concludes the book of Romans by going down through a list of names, and I'm not going to read these names, but I want you to notice this. In verse 3, it says about Priscilla and Aquila. It says in verse 3, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." My helpers. Paul, the greatest Christian that ever walked the face of the earth, that was going to be an example for suffering to all those that would come after him. to Paul, the ones that the one that bore in his body the marks of Christ, to Paul, the martyr, the one that said, "I've finished my course, I've kept the faith, I've finished the course, and I've kept the faith, and I've fought the good fight." That man had people help him on the way, and he said, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." These were not preachers and teachers. They were helpers. Paul said, you greet them. And you be a blessing to them, because they were willing to lay down their life for me. Helpers. In Romans chapter 16 there, and verse 9, it says, "Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachius, my beloved." When you read this chapter, sometimes you think, "Oh, it's just names of people that Paul knew, acquaintances." These were people that helped. They helped him. You can be a helper. There is someone that you can help. Now, before you can be a helper, there's three things that you need to ask yourself. Number one, is it within my means to help that person? There may be somebody come to you that needs help, but you cannot directly help them. You've got to think, it is within my means to help them. Can I really help this person? And if it's not within your means, ask yourself this question: do I know somebody that can help them? Sometimes it's not passing the buck. Sometimes it's getting the person in contact with someone that can do the job and help them out. The second thing to be a helper you need to ask is, what are the results of me helping this person? What will be the results? Maybe you don't know exactly what the results will be. You might help some little child out someday that will grow up to become a doctor, or become a preacher, or become a missionary, or become a teacher. That helps many, many, many other people, all because you help them. But in the same vein, in that same light, you need to ask yourself this question also: what are the consequences if I don't help them? If I don't help them, what's going to happen? You know, when my mother-in-law was out there driving around and in the unknown world that she was in, she had a flat tire on her car. An old gentleman came and changed that tire for her. Somebody saw a person in need. And in this day when you can get mugged in a heartbeat, in this day when somebody can come along and see that you're in need, can mug you in a heartbeat, in this day when there's so much murder and violence going on, there was a man that said, "I'm going to help that woman." She tried to give him some money. He said, "No. I just stopped to help." What would have been the consequences had he not helped her? Another car could have come along and hit her. She might have staggered out in the road and got hit. She could have walked along the road trying to get help, and somebody could have nabbed her. There's a lot of things that could have happened, but those things didn't happen. Why? Because somebody was willing to stop and help. What are the consequences if I don't help? Then the third thing is this: do I have a desire to help somebody else? Or am I about just helping me? Your life will be very, very, your world will be very, very small if all you care about is helping you. Some of the greatest blessings and joys of life is reaching out and helping someone else. And then seeing God do something for them, and maybe it came through you, and God did something for them. And that'll give you great joy and cause you to feel great purpose in this life. Every single one of us can help somebody. A child, a teenager, a young married couple, or an old person. We can help somebody. Jesus helps everybody. And if you need help this morning, you can get it from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You would help us to see this world as You see it. Lord, You said the fields are white unto harvest. And we know, Lord, that You meant a harvest of souls. We know, Lord, that You meant bringing people to You. Lord, sometimes we just need to help a person along the way. And in doing that, get an opportunity to be a witness. Sometimes we just need to extend our hand of help because You've been so good to help us out in so many different instances. Lord, help us not to look within. Help us to look without. Help us to look at others. Help us to see where we can be a blessing. Help us to see how that we can help someone else. Father, I pray that You'd speak to our hearts and make us more like You in this area. Lord, speak to my heart. Make me more like You in this area. And Lord, may we not fail to want to help someone else. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start closing here. Have anything picked out, Shirley?